Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
Midnight Movie Night.
Get used to disappointment.
We are the Midnight Movie Nights.
With a K.
Two idiots with microphones bringing you a weekly not-safe-for-work dose of verbal diarrhea about life, pop culture, and most importantly, movies. Today is Saturday, May 16th, 2015, and I am Miranda Janelle.
I'm that fracking cat, and if you want to interact with the live show, send us a tweet at Movie Nights Pod. Watch us anytime. Send a tweet anytime.
Okay.
Threw you off, didn't I?
A little bit. It was more the are you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. Okay, have you sent a tweet yet? No, I haven't sent it. Then you're not ready. Stop making me seems the fuck out.
And I sent out a tweet before you sent that out.
Yeah.
I win.
Fine, you win, you do the show.
Okay.
All by yourself. I'm just going to sit here in contemplative silence.
Why? You can't do that. You can't leave me here. There's no fireworks or anything going off. Stop seebsing. Seebsing. That's a word now. Seebsing. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So that's not going well. What happened there, kitty?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right.
I win again.
Okay, well, so last week, a bit of a blur for me.
What, the whole show?
Except for when we got a call from Bill. That part I remember. The rest of it, I just don't remember last week's show at all.
That's weird because it was your movie that we were watching.
Yeah, I know. I know. I vaguely remember watching the movie, but... Oh, it was a tough week. I had a coworker out on vacation. I think I kind of told, the gist of it last week. I'm sure I mentioned it. I was pretty stressed out when we started the show.
Busy work week.
Yeah. Coworker out on vacation. Another coworker out at graduation. And my boss was traveling, so I was the only senior. There's four senior people in the company. I'm one of them.
That was the only one.
I do have the most seniority, if that means anything. But I was the only one in the office, so it was,
you were the boss?
Not really. I mean, we all just did our work, but I was kind of covering. We had a client emergency and I screwed up my sleep and everything got really bad, and I was really kicking myself because I was supposed to go to the mariachi festival over at Mission San Juan Capistrano, and I didn't get to go to that. There was also a local meetup that I didn't end up going to because I slept in, and then we did the show and I have very little memory of that. And then leading into Sunday, I still wasn't sleeping very well. I completely slept through getting breakfast with my mom on Mother's Day. So I wasn't very happy about that. And I was just beating myself up left and right, because I brought it on myself. I did end up getting to spend some time with my mom, though, in the afternoon. And then she wasn't feeling very well in the evening. And then everything really sucked. Turned out that mom not feeling well turned into a trip to the emergency room which was really, really tough because Mom never wants to go to the doctor or the emergency room or anything like that. She is a trained medical professional. She knows... basically, Mom knows when it's bad. And so Mom wanting to go to the emergency room was really, really bad. And it freaked me the hell out.
I imagine it would.
And any hope I had of remembering last week's show, it completely evaporated. So it took a long time for us to... I'm saying all of this because it took so long to get the show out, and it's because I was dealing with a particularly tough week, and I'm the one who actually does the publishing. You know, we both do a little bit of a collaboration on the write-up. But ultimately, it boils down to when I upload and push everything out. So I am sorry for getting everything out so late. It just went out last night, minutes before midnight. So a little less than 21 hours ago. Or no. I'm sorry. A little more than 21 hours ago.
Hey, you gotta do math again.
Hey, live math is fun. Yeah, so that would be my entry for the time machine. You got anything there, Katie?
Let's see. What did I do this week? I worked and drew some. That's about it. It wasn't that exciting of a week. Just work and sleep.
So really nothing for the time machine. I can hit this button.
Okay.
Prepare thy arms for this test of verbal acuity. Only the sharpest wit can survive the tournament of segments.
It's been a while since we've done a tournament of segments. I don't even remember how
to speak. To say words.
Oh, I don't even remember
how is forged?
Yes, Kitty. How is battle forged?
Oh, you got it out that time.
Do you even remember?
I remember how battle is forged.
Stop playing with your microphone.
I didn't do that on purpose.
Uh-huh.
No one heard that.
I told you, don't make me seep the fuck out. Stop it!
I did that on purpose.
Jerk.
So, Battle is Forged, we pick random topics we have in this list of segments. We've got them on the website. There's a link on the website. And you've got a spinner, and whatever comes up, we have to have a movie-related segment.
And we recently changed the rules a little bit. We're doing it on the spot. So if we have chosen a flick before, we don't have the full database in front of us. And so I guess apologies on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See how it goes.
Let's just get into it. See, it's been a while since, you know, we're out of practice on this one.
Yeah, it is definitely just going to be on the fly.
Here, before I start spinning, let's see. Marianne's out there. She says, CTFO, Siebs. Yeah, I am Siebsing the fuck out.
Just chill.
Yeah. I actually have something to bring up about our flick pick when we get to it. And but right now, it looks like we have landed on a novel idea.
It made the sound right off the bat.
Yeah, but it's still not making there's something about it being plugged in to the external audio where it will make the clicking noise, you know, when it's spinning, but it doesn't make the selection noise. So I don't know what's going on there. But we have landed on a novel idea. Okay. And I'm sure I've picked this one before, but it came up last night on Revelstoke Jim's Canadian content. Specifically, Nicholas Sparks books. I'm going to go with A Walk to Remember. Mandy Moore and Shane West and God, is that Peter Coyote? I think he played her dad.
If I saw him, I wouldn't know who it is.
I'm pretty sure it's Peter Coyote. I don't know. And I'm not going to look it up because we're supposed to be doing this quick so we can get through a bunch of them. I like this movie partially because I like Mandy Moore, and also I just thought it was a good story. My sister swears the book is better, to which I always reply the book is always better. actually, that's not true. There have been some cases. And none of them are coming to mind, so I'm just going to move on. what?
Nothing. That was just funny.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So A Walk to Remember. I like this one because of Mandy Moore.
Oh, okay. I don't remember who she is, but is she still acting?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's good. Good. Good on her. Oh, let's see. I've got All of Me. It's based on a book called Me Too, T-W-O. By Edwin Davis. I didn't even know it was a book until I started looking this movie up. For some reason, I had that movie in mind. It's the movie is Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She's dying and she's got to get her consciousness into somebody else. And he's like a lawyer, an assistant. I can't remember what it was. I haven't seen it in forever. I, that's why I was looking it up. I want to see it again, but. It's somehow she gets caught up in his brain. So there's like two of them. You know, he's got her in his mind, and he's kind of going nuts about it, trying to get her out of his mind. So
kind of like being John Malkovich.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Oh my God! You never seen that?
No, not yet.
Oh, we got all right. That one's a fun movie. It's a lot of fun.
I heard it was good.
I certainly enjoyed it. Alrighty, and oh please, we've landed on Anything Goes. All right, I went first last time. You go, Kitty. You want me to go?
Do you want to go with the old friend?
No, just hold on. What? Anything Goes. Just pick a movie.
Okay.
It's not a Knight's Choice.
One I just thought, I just noticed today, The Blues Brothers.
Yes. Okay.
When we went to see the movie today or earlier, I guess they're showing older movies for the month or something. But I noticed that was one of the movies they're going to be showing tomorrow. And I don't think I've seen that one on the big screen. And I know it's like on Netflix, and I think I have it somewhere. But it would just be cool to see it on the big screen.
Oh, it would be cool to see it on the big screen, but you wouldn't have to go looking for it because it's right over there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if I were to kick the back of the desk sufficiently hard, the Blues Brothers would fall.
So what, a half a dozen other movies?
It's a lot more than half a dozen other movies.
Yeah, I mean, just I love that movie, and I think it would be cool to see it on the big screen.
Certainly would be cool to see it on the big screen. I think we should do that right before we go to see Mad Max Fury Road.
I'm for that.
All right. Double feature tomorrow. That should be interesting. Yeah. Okay, for my Anything Goes, I'm going to go with Black Angel. It was it was written and directed by, I believe his name's Robert Christensen. He was the director of Battlefield Earth. And this was the short film that ran in front of Empire Strikes Back in, I believe it was in the UK. But I just watched this last night after just learning about it. And the thing that I thought was really interesting was I basically sat back and enjoyed watching a short film that was thought to be lost to the ages. But the Master was rediscovered recently, and there, I believe there was a campaign to put it into digital form and release it. It's currently available on YouTube. It's about a 30-minute video with an introduction by the writer and director, and he was also involved as a set designer on Star Wars, and he was involved with Return of the Jedi as well. But I thought it was really interesting to watch a short film that came out before one of my favorite movies of all time in the year that I was born. You know, they kept saying, or the director in his little commentary before the movie said, prepare to be transported back 34 years. And
so it showed in the UK right before,
I think, I don't know.
Showing of
I don't
Empire.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it ran here in the United States. I don't remember everything that, the director had said, but it was a interesting little story. There's a knight that returns home from the crusade. His family's home is burned, destroyed. There's a sickness in the land, and he sets out to right it. Interesting flick. Nice little short film. It's about, I want to say it's about 25 minutes. Yep.
So it's a night version of the outlaw Josie Wales?
I don't know that one. I'm sorry.
Okay. It just sounded familiar.
Alrighty. Well, let's see what we're going to land on this time. And let's see if this brings the sound back, please. Come on. Nope, no selection sound. I have no idea why that's not working. But I get to actually hit this button.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tom Ashbrook here with an urgent report for the public. We now go live to James Raflowski at the Pentagon. James?
Thank you, Tom. Let me just say the shit has really hit the fan over here, dude.
Should you really be using that sort of language on the air?
Shut the fuck up, Tom. We are way beyond FCC regulations at this point. We've got nukes, robots, aliens, hurricanes, graboids, Gundams, space plagues, death rays, zombies, mutants, and Jedi. This is science fucking fiction.
Is it just me, or is the absolute best part of that? Shut the fuck up, Tom.
Yeah. I'm Tom, and I'm way into butts.
Shut the fuck up, Tom. Oh, who knew that Tom was going to make an appearance tonight?
Yeah.
All right. So we've got science fiction. I don't know what to pick. There's so many to choose from. What?
Nothing. I didn't say anything.
Yeah, but you made noises. The problem is I'm looking straight at my Smallville collection, but I am not going to go in the superhero vein. I'm blanking.
Think about it.
Yes, please do.
The X-Files movie, the first one.
Oh, nice. Fight Very nice.
I think I watched that a couple of weeks ago just because, you know, hearing about the X-Files coming back, and I don't know, I just got into it. That's the only thing I've ever seen of the X-Files. I've never watched the show yet. I mean, it's on my list. I've got a list of...
You've got a lot of things on your list.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. I added it to my queue, but, you know, haven't watched it yet.
You have to do it the way that I've been handling Bob's Burgers. Although, the X-Files, if I remember right, an hour long, not half an hour. But in the morning, when I'm getting ready, I put an episode of Bob's Burgers on. And in the evening, while I'm brushing my teeth and again, getting ready, you know, so getting ready to go out, and getting ready to go to bed. During those times, I watch an episode each, and I've made it into season 5 of Bob's Burgers doing that in just a matter of a couple of weeks.
Cool. Yeah, I should start doing that.
That's just a handy way to get through shows. Although, something tells me that you get ready a hell of a lot faster than I do.
Yeah, sometimes. It just depends on how early I wake up. But that's a commitment. That's 10 seasons of The X-Files?
Sure.
Or is it 9? I don't know. That's a lot. And that's when they were doing 22, 23 episodes a season.
Let's see. So I know Smallville bested out Stargate SG-1 as the longest continuously running science fiction program. Yes, we all know it doesn't hold anything to Doctor Who, which has been going on for more than 50 years now, but it was not continuous. So the category is longest continuously running science fiction program. And, oh God, I'm already coming back to Smallville again. This is why I can't be staring at Smallville.
You've got super family on the brain.
Well, yeah. Actually, really what I've got on my brain for the is our flick pick. But anyway, Smallville bested out Stargate SG-1. Both made it 10 seasons. And I believe The X-Files was next on the list. So I think it is also in 10 seasons, just not as many episodes as Stargate SG-1. So... Okay.
I'll definitely have to catch up to it.
Yeah. Okay. So our category is science fiction, and I would say that our flick pick for the evening, Ex Machina, definitely falls into the science fiction category.
Definitely. Yeah.
We'll talk about it a bit more, but we just saw it. It's very heavily on the brain. I'm choosing this because it's thought provoking.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right.
It's still kind of stuck in my brain.
Indeed. We'll do one or two more of these, and I guess then we'll move on to that. How's that sound?
I'm good with that.
Ah, fun. We've got Knight's Choice Siebes. All right. And how about we go for Pop My Culture Cherry?
Whoa. Okay.
And for that, I am going to choose the entire Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Because for the longest time, they've been toting, it's all connected, it's all connected. And this last Tuesday, we got the finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And, God, was that this last Tuesday or was that the prior Tuesday? Now I don't remember.
I think it was this Tuesday.
It was this Tuesday. And... they did some very, very interesting things. We saw a few characters leave. And it has interesting implications in the entire universe of... in the entire Marvel... I guess it's just the cinematic universe, because they keep... Or for the longest time, they had... hammered on, it's all connected, and I really love what they've done with that. I'm enjoying watching where they're going with where they're going with these stories, and seeing it all unfold, and every little bit adds new pieces of information, and I'm still just having a crap ton of fun thinking about these stories. You know, what what do the events of Tuesday's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. have for S.H.I.E.L.D. going forward as an organization, specifically with Phil Coulson at the helm? I don't know, but there are interesting days ahead. So that is my pop, my culture cherry.
Okay, very good. Well, I was going to mention Mad Max, the Fury Road, and it.
Okay. What about it?
You threw me off again.
How did I? How did
6 million on opening day, and apparently it's going to probably fall behind Pitch Perfect too. I don't know what the hell it would do then.
Oh crap! I've completely forgot about Pitch Perfect too.
I don't remember watching one.
How about you don't remember watching one?
I didn't pay much attention.
Okay, so you.
But I've been.
You didn't particularly enjoy
about,
that one, did you?
Yeah, it was all right.
All right, fine. I'll go see that one with my mom and sister.
Fine, you do that. But all the tweets I've been seeing from people, I think I've seen one that was kind of negative. And they were like, "Eh, whatever." But everyone else likes it. Fury Road. I mean.
Oh, okay.
So,
I'm still stuck on the pitches.
I thought you said pigeons for a minute. It made me think of the other day.
What happened the other day?
I kind of had a crazy moment. There were pigeons in the parking lot, and I gunned it in the car. They flew off, of course, but it was still just kind of fun. To
evil kitty.
Yeah.
Chasing the birds. Hey, don't mess with the birds.
I mess with the birds because a bird pooped on my head once. And so I don't like birds flying overhead. There's like a 30-yard radius around me. It's a no-fly zone.
And why don't you just make it a no-poo zone?
Because, you know, it doesn't matter. Just don't fly over my head, birds. Don't do it.
Yeah, but there's other things around that can poo on you. So why not, you know...
What the hell is up there flying around that could poo on me besides a bird?
What if a plane does an evacuation and it doesn't atomize and
well, if I get hit with poo from a plane, then I don't have to worry about anything else.
I mean,
that's
but,
just going to be once.
Or what if someone like just put some excrement on a catapult, you know, and it just happened to be flying. I mean, I think. If your goal is to not be pooed on, then I wouldn't exclude it to just birds.
That's poo being tossed. That's not poo just coming out of something.
One way or another, poo's falling out of the sky and landing on you, and this is the desire. Why does everything always come up to... It's either poo or butts. Oh.
Just don't fly over my head, birds. That's all I have to say. And that's kind of... That's probably subconsciously why I tried to... chase the birds in a car. Regular cats will just run at them in the yard.
Yeah, but regular cats don't drive.
Yeah.
Then they certainly don't drive as well as Mad Max.
True. But it was fun. I just had a crazy moment. Chased pigeons in a car. I think I even sent messages about it. Was laughing like a madman.
Okay, you can lead a cat to his Pop My Culture cherry, but you can't make him burst it?
What?
I gave you a transition back to Mad Max.
Oh, well, I said it only earned like $16.6 million on the opening day.
Only $16.6 million? Well, okay, what was the budget for the movie?
What'd they say it was? $200 million? Over $200 million? So... I mean, they'll probably get it back, but still. That's pretty low for that movie, and I'm hearing a lot of people say that they like it.
You
got those pitches making almost $28 million. That's not right. Just not right at all.
Everything that I've heard about Mad Max Fury Road is just nothing but excitement. And that comes from people that weren't previously aware of the franchise.
Good grief. What, so, were they 12? Are you talking to 12-year-olds that don't know anything about Mad Max?
Not too far off. I mean, 25-year-olds.
What?
What? Oh my God, not everyone has the same life experience as you. Get over it.
Idiots.
Whatever, I'm going to spin. This is the last one.
Okay. What's wrong with kids?
Yeah. It's not kids. Okay, we have landed on pod people. Kitty,
huh?
Who do you got for pod people?
I went first last time.
No, you didn't.
Okay.
No!
I forgot.
You just finished talking about Mad Max.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I was talking about Mad Max. I'll talk about one that I was listening to last night at work. A pod of us, you know, the, you know, Trent and, you know, Judge Funky Boy, Tom Sherlock, their podcast on the A Part of Him Network. It was fun to hear them talk again. I've kind of gotten behind on some of them, but I'll listen to that one. And Tom always makes me crack up. So thanks, Tom.
And Tom is actually out there listening right now. He says, at that fracking cat, watch out for flying monkey poop. Splat. Hashtag bird poop.
See, I couldn't live in Oz knowing that, you know, it's bad enough you got crows and everything flying around, but you got flying monkeys. And monkeys don't just poop. They throw it at you. So it would be targeted on purpose. I mean, they just poop it and just toss it at you. It's not random.
Okay.
So the no-fly zone would have to increase.
All right. Let's see. I know I've talked about it on Getting Geeky, but have I brought up what Loria Petrucci is doing over at Geek's Life?
Not here.
Okay. So that's going to be my pod people. There is a woman by the name of Loria Petrucci. Some of you may know her better as Callie Lewis. She has decided to start using her real name, and she has set up a new venture along with David Foster, who I believe is her fiancé. I know at the very least they are dating. But they have Loria branched off and left Geekbeat TV to start her own deal, and it's over at geekslife.com. You can register for a free membership, or you can join Geeks Plus and get access to even more content for as little as $3 a month, and. They've got a couple of shows over there. There's The Hipster and the Geek, The Tech Whisperer, Entertainment Geeks, Lights, Camera, Action. They are also setting up the Academy of Geeks. And I love this site. I find myself on it every day. And I've been paying attention to a lot of the content that they've been putting out. It's pretty well done. So, go Geeks Life, and I am proud to be a Geeks Plus member.
Yeah, I've been checking that one out. I think yep. I just subscribed to a couple of the shows on there. So
yeah, it's like I said, I am very much so proud to be a Geeks Life member. Oh, hey Kitty, you hear that?
The Flick Pit.
Alrighty, well, we kind of already teased it just a little bit, but talking and trying to update notes at the same time is just not working for me at the moment, but we do not have a clear winner of our tournament, so I just went into the flick pick. Alrighty. Like I previously mentioned, our flick pick for the evening was Ex Machina, and it, from what I understand, it is available in a limited release. At the moment, it was available in a few theaters around us, so we did have our choice of where to see it, and. basically, an employer invites an employee to his what you initially think is his estate. It turns out it's a state-of-the-art research facility where the employer is developing a lifelike artificial intelligence by the name of Ava. And she has a mechanical body, a human face. She has hands and feet, but you can, you know, you can see she's not completely covered in skin. It's rather interesting. It's more like a skin-like substance grafted on top of the mechanical body.
Yeah, and parts of it are kind of clear.
Yeah, and so you can,
like the arms and the stomach area, you know, you can see her innards, her electronic components, and the skeletal system that he's built for.
But, and I thought that was pretty interesting because while we were watching it, I kind of found my mind wandering a little bit, just thinking about what the actress was actually wearing when they filmed these scenes, because it is supposed to be a skin-like texture, but it's pretty clear. She's either wearing, she's probably wearing a blue suit and leaving her hands and feet exposed, and then it would have covered up her hair, and it kind of went around her ears, but her face was visible, and it just got me thinking. There were parts of the mechanical body that were covered. So, just imagining that she's wearing the blue suit, but she's also wearing a layer on top of it. It looks like it's a blend of CGI and practical effects. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I would say probably the shoulders and the chest. It seems like it would be some kind of costume.
And like that wasn't digitally added. Like she was actually wearing that. But whereas when you see her arm and the mesh on top of it,
like from her thighs to her feet.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder what is supporting those structures? Is it like a compressed air, like an inert gas, on the inside of the structure? Cause it did appear to be inflated.
Yeah, it was just some kind of plastic, maybe.
Okay, so the effects in this movie looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I would look forward to seeing like DVD extras on that. I hope they have some, because I would want to see that, just to see what she had to go through for that role.
Okay.
You saw that?
Sorry, squirrel.
I was waiting for you to see that.
Oh, Tom. Tom says, at Movie Nights Pod, I sometimes wonder what you guys wear when you pod. At the moment, I am wearing, I'm wearing pajama pants and killer rabbit slippers. And for a top, it would be a t-shirt that is a skull made out of kittens.
Spider-Man underoos.
You're wearing Spider-Man underoos?
Yeah.
I don't remember what I'm wearing. Okay.
That's all I'm wearing, so.
That's not true, folks. That is not true whatsoever. We have not breached that as roommates. We're fully clothed at all times.
I'm wearing a towel.
I don't want to see you that way, and I'm pretty sure you don't want to see me that way.
I don't want to see me that way.
Exactly.
What the fuck?
No, I'm saying that. I'm not putting you down. Close, like I don't want to. I don't even want to see myself that way. So, so which brings me to one of the things that I thought was pretty interesting about this movie. I really enjoyed the interaction between Nathan, the employer, and Caleb, the employee. Specifically, how Nathan kept challenging Caleb to direct his test. The entire reason why Caleb was there was to test Ava as part of a Turing test. And I love that they addressed, well, if I know I'm talking to a robot, doesn't that negate it? and yes, in the strictest definition, it absolutely would. But I like how they handled it with the employer saying, you know, a far more interesting test is if the machine can make you care about it. And it's basically what he ended up saying. And I thought that that was an interesting thought. Maybe it's not whether or not we can tell that we are talking to a machine. It's whether or not we can empathize with it.
Wow. I did kind of get that, you know, as the movie went on. Just their interactions. And it always seemed to be a test for both of them.
Yes. Nathan, he provided a lot of interesting challenges. And Caleb asked some interesting questions, specifically around the sexuality of Ava.
Did come on a little strong at some point, which was odd.
Well, and Caleb was asking Nathan about that. You know, did you specifically program her to use her sexuality as a distraction, specifically to distract Caleb? This is something that's in the trailers. So it's no real spoiler. The breakthrough that Nathan had in thinking about artificial intelligence came through the search engine that he had created. and he viewed it as, search engines, all of his competitors were viewing it as a means of getting at what people want and anticipating what they want. And Nathan made the distinction of, no, it's really how people are thinking. Yeah, and he used that to see the artificial intelligence. In their discussion of Ava's sexuality, there's just this one moment where Caleb is defeated, and he asks, "Did you make Ava's appearance, or did you design her face based on my porn preferences?" And the answer that Nathan gave is like, well, what are search engines best used for? There were a lot of things that were really self-aware about this movie, and it raised a lot of questions, and it really got me thinking. I really enjoyed the discussion of sexuality and how it's programmed. Nathan did say that he deliberately programmed Ava to be heterosexual, but beyond that, she could develop her own interests, and Caleb kind of took offense to it, which I thought was interesting. Like, well, how can you program her to... And Nathan made another fantastic point to think about. You know, aren't we all programmed either, you know, by nature or by nurture? in one way or another, we end up along a path and we got there one way or another. I just like the idea that he thought he thinks of it as people are being programmed. It kind of actually shows that this disconnection of the massively rich billionaire with his complex, where things still end up breaking.
Yeah. Dude was a little bit creepy. He spent too much time in that complex.
Yes, he most certainly did. And sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just trying to put into words with his other creations, I guess.
Right. And that's one thing I was kind of thinking about. You know, you don't end up with Ava without having other prototypes. And he viewed... at one point, he I don't want to go too spoilery, but at one point, he suggests that the next model will likely be the singularity, the one that is indistinguishable between, you know, between human and machine.
So the final product would be next.
Is what right, yeah. Right. And there's also the... No, I don't want to get into that. That's a little spoilery. But there are other prototypes, and we do end up getting to see them. At one point, Ava becomes concerned after the test that Caleb is conducting at Nathan's request. She shows concern over her fate, and Caleb answers the question.
Yeah.
It's, gosh, I don't even know what I'm trying to say about this. And
well, the one thing I was going to mention was the interaction between Caleb and Nathan and how Caleb was, well, he was a hardcore programmer, right? I mean, he was, when you first see him, he's behind two monitors and doing his work.
Yes, because that's the stereotype of all, you know, is all it? Hardcore programmers, you know.
Is it?
Two monitors.
Oh, well, I've only seen one with one monitor, so. But, yeah, whenever Nathan starts actually talking to him about this, you know, what he's been working on. And then, you know, they have the first meeting, you know, Caleb and Ava. And then Nathan, you know, asks him, you know, he wants to know what he thought, you know, his thoughts of their first meeting. And
he gives him the clinical answer.
Yeah. And then, you know, Nathan's like, no, just give me a straight answer. We're just two dudes just hanging out, you know, drinking beers and, you know.
Just I'm not your boss right now. Just tell me what the frack you thought.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool. Because every time he would start to give like his opinion on what was going on, he would get clinical. He would get technical with things. He's like, no, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear your honest opinions. And so it did seem like, you know, there was a lot more testing going on than it seemed.
Oh, yeah. It's The thing that I really liked about that interaction specifically was, you know, okay, Caleb's a programmer. Hey, that's my profession. And I started thinking about, you know, that's actually probably, that's exactly how I would have approached the problem. Would have gone in all clinical and trying to analyze it. And
that's one of the things I thought about, because sometimes you'll bring it up.
It's just like what?
Overthinking it.
Yeah.
And Nathan didn't want, you know, if he wanted something, you know, like that, he wanted technical answers, you know, he probably has it on screen or on file, things that he's written down before. He wanted an honest human answer, if I could put it that way, if that makes sense.
Now, okay, I did see characteristics of myself in Caleb, but there was one part of the movie that freaked me the hell out, because Nathan is Caleb's boss, and in Nathan's work area, there's an entire wall covered with Post-it notes. And that freaked me the hell out, because I'm pretty sure that my boss is a majority stockholder in 3M. I don't think you can see it right. And, you know, and it is something that is spreading to the rest of the team. But, and I don't think that you can see it right now. But there, if you look at my laptop, there's a couple sticky notes hanging off my laptop of things that I need to get done.
Well, you can thank Romy White for the Post-its. She did invent them.
Indeed.
Her and Michelle.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Yeah, Romy and Michelle definitely did invent the Post-its. Hey, look at this. I've got even more Post-its over here. Yeah. So that was something I that weirded me out a little bit.
Well, that was one point. You did see that in a couple of scenes, but after a while, it just never went back to that. I was hoping you would go back to that and you would see the point of some of that.
Well, but he was adding to it.
Well, no, I mean, he was taking notes. He was observing everything. He had, you know, monitors everywhere. But I don't know. I just thought there would be something more to the Post-its being, you know, covering the whole wall.
No, to me, it's how he organizes his thoughts. There were pockets of bare wall. It did look like there was an overall system to those notes. So maybe a particular thought occurred and he took a note, or there was a behavioral observance. Maybe it would go to a different part of the wall. It did seem like there was some structure to it. So I don't know. I didn't find myself questioning that too much.
Well, it was just a thought that, you know, I thought maybe there was something more to it. But again, I guess I was overthinking it. But I understand it. I mean, back home in my room, I had strings hanging from the ceiling, and I would hang certain drawings. Or, you know, if I was working on a comic, then they would be hanging from certain strings. What? Oh.
Twitter. Okay. So there was, we kind of already touched on the sexuality, of Ava, but at first, when the movie first started, there was one aspect of Ava that kind of creeped me out a little bit. And it did appear that she had mechanically functional genitals.
I don't know. I didn't look.
It was just one of those. I didn't notice at first, but then the, like, wait a minute. Is that, oh my, okay. That's interesting. And then they actually ended up addressing it. And it, the reason why, Nathan, made her fully functional, we should say.
She's a perv.
Well, maybe not fully functional, but there is a scene that does explain that she can feel pleasure. Which, how did you test that one out, Nathan?
Yeah.
And I will fire back one of your own points, especially because it's one of the ones that is in the trailers. How do you know that she was actually caring for you, or not that she was just pretending to?
Like some sort of programming.
Ultimately, they did approach some interesting topics in computer science, so I really, really enjoyed this movie. I don't want to spoil the end, but I will say that it was my favorite part of the movie. And if we get these lifelike robots like Ava, who have a sense, well, they have sensuality, the ability to think and feel.
It reminds me of Data whenever he mentions that. Oh, shit. How did he put it? I am fully functional, programmed in multiple techniques.
Well, not just that, but it just made me wonder if they took it one step further and unleashed Ava upon the world. You know, they had an interaction talking about why was it necessary to give her the sensuality? Is intelligence in of itself not enough? And Nathan's response was, well, if you had a gray box, okay, if that made you laugh and turn away from the screen, I'm not checking Twitter. Behave yourself, Tom. I know it's coming from you. Yay. Can you stop it so I can focus?
Go ahead.
Okay.
I blame Tom.
We always blame Tom. Anyway, Nathan's point was, what motivation does a gray box have to interact with another gray box? You know, Nathan felt it was essential to the intelligence to have it have feelings, to have sexuality, to have gender, to have aspects of what we would call, or what we currently know as humanity. And if we were to take that to the extreme and release an Ava upon the world, would we as humans ever actually know that the singularity had occurred? I mean, or eventually at some point, we could become aware of it, but would we ever be able in that situation where there was a lifelike robot, a skin job, a Cylon?
Nice.
Would we actually know the time and date that the singularity occurred?
I don't think so. You people can't judge that between each other now. That's why you have so many people that irritate each other or could care less about someone else. You know, you've seen it, and people that will cut you off or just be mean to each other. They don't stop to think about someone else being a person. So how would humanity treat a robot?
A super, super smart, covert robot hell-bent on destruction of the human race. So
that's the only
1,000
time
years from
it.
Now it can cackle at us like the primitive apes that we are.
Yeah, basically. Even if the robot looked human, you know, completely human, I mean, no one would care. Until, you know, it started, you know, just destroying people. Destroy. Then they'll be like, huh, probably should have treated that robot just a little bit better. Shouldn't have cut that robot off.
At the end of We Are Not Here to Please You, what is it, Adam Lash with that project? Yeah, humanity.
Gigahose.
Yeah, gigahose. Humanity creates a lifelike artificial intelligence, and 3 days later they try and fuck it. It's so sad. If we would end up using it as a sex bot. That's just how we are as a society, at least here.
Well, that made me think, you know, whenever he did say, did you base her appearance on my porn preferences? I had to think about that, and I was like, well, if it was me, then there would just be a blank face because I don't look at porn.
Yeah, but you do know what you find attractive, and you've never got drunk once and went out there searching for your most secretive, vile,
on the internet,
guilty pleasure.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, okay.
Why have I?
I don't know. What are you asking me for?
I don't know. No, I just no interest.
Okay, fair enough.
I think I'm a robot.
Can you make up your mind on what you are?
I have no idea anymore.
Now, there's an interesting question.
What?
If you didn't tell an artificial intelligence that it was an artificial intelligence, would it know that it is different from the humans walking around?
Not unless it was programmed or... Well, yeah, if it had some idea of its programming.
Well, right, but if it wasn't... If it was never made aware that...
Well, I could go back to an episode of Star Trek again. That there was a scenario like that. That it had no idea what it was until something happened, and then everyone else was like, whoa, because no one else knew either. There was someone who suspected, but until something actually happened, they had no idea. So they had to actually just fix, you know, what had happened and send it back on its merry way without ever telling it.
Interesting.
I didn't want to spoil it. That's why I kept it kind of vague.
Yeah, you think?
Even though it's like 20 years old now. Or
yeah,
over 20 years.
It's okay. You can spoil it at this point.
Yeah, it was Data's mother. Well, you know, her mother with the quotes going on there.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah.
It's okay. You didn't have to worry about spoiling it for me. But yes, good.
She was programmed with a lifespan at some point, you know, like a Blade Runner. She was just supposed to just shut down and die. And they had that question, should we tell her that she's an android or just let her live out her life? So they just let her live out her life, which I thought was cool. Just let her go on believing that she is a living being and pass on.
All right. You got anything else for this movie, Kitty?
Not without spoiling it. It did kind of, it's thought-provoking, yeah.
Yeah, it's
still kind of with me just thinking about it. Just everything that had happened, even the, you know, like you said, you like the ending. I like the ending too. I could kind of see a little bit of it coming. Some of it, I was like, whoa, I didn't see that. But
see, that was my real issue with this movie was, I first heard about it a couple months ago. I've been seeing the trailers, and it's a movie I've been thinking about for a while now. And I actually, I just got a call from my boss last night. He and his wife went to go see it, and he called me immediately afterward, telling me, "Oh my, you have to go see this. You might, just drop everything, go see this movie tomorrow."
but I'm working right now. Go.
No, that's fine. And I think I am actually going to log a time slip for seeing the movie. I got it right here.
Okay.
I've got the stub and the actual receipt. Oh, that's what I should do. I should expense it to the company. No, but because it was one that I was aware of and I've watched all the trailers for.
Were you self-aware of it?
I did kind of find the overall plot pretty predictable, but I really don't care about that just because of the actual content itself. Some of it accurate, some of it, at least to my understanding, not so much, and some of it downright creepy. But still thought-provoking, and this movie's staying with me, and I will definitely see it again. I Didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either. And once it hits video, I think I wouldn't mind seeing it again. And you said creepy. Yeah, there were maybe one or two scenes that I was like uncomfortable. Which is like, oh, that's just not right. Nothing too out there. Just
the acting. I know exactly what you're talking about. And yeah, it was pulled off quite well.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have to say Nathan, Oscar Isaac, he's going to play Poe, right?
Yep.
He did a good job in this.
The acting was great in this.
Knowing that he is going to play Poe, you know, in Force Awakens, that kind of interested me in it. The other people I didn't really know. He was the only one that I had any kind of idea of who he was. But he did really well in it, so I don't know. Can I say how is he going to top the character of Poe with this? You know, his role in this, because he was really good in this. I have to admit, you know, even though at some points he was creepy, I think he was good.
He's clearly an excellent actor, and I think the actors that played Nathan and Ava, oh gosh, what was her name? Gogo.
Yoko.
No, she wasn't Yoko. Really?
Kyoko.
Okay. Yeah.
Sonoya Mizuno.
Yeah, actually, I think she was. She's probably the understated actor in this, just because of how few lines of dialogue that she had.
I can't remember if she even said a word. I don't think she did.
I don't think she did either. But
it was all her facial expressions. If even that.
Yeah, no, she was extremely emotive. They all did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, that is Midnight Movie Nights for this week.
As always, that's Nights with a K.
The Midnight Movie Nights podcast is listed in iTunes, Overcast, Stitcher, TuneIn, and a few other podcast directories.
And the live show starts at 9 p.m. Western time. And we did start on time this week. And we got a webpage over at midnightmovienights.com, and that's where you can find the live stream.
And on Twitter, we are at Movie Nights Pod. And if you need more than 140 characters, our email address is contact@midnightmovienights.com.
We want to thank Mr. Brad Raven for our logo and Tom Sherlock at Josh.
I'm Tom, Funky, and I'm way into butts.
For derailing a couple of times there. Thanks, Tom. At Judge Funky Boy. Did I say for the theme? He's for the theme.
Yeah.
And Al DC at DC Cantel for the segment intros.
And we got to play all three of them tonight.
Yeah. Without just playing them just to play them. We actually got to use them. And I don't think we have any new followers this week. Do we?
I don't know.
I didn't check.
That's usually something that you do.
I couldn't tell. I can't remember.
We got No week. Pants Gaming.
Yeah.
That's Come on. I just noticed.
That's an awesome name.
You could game with pants on, but why would you? Awesome. Love it. We've got Tom, and we've got Diana, and we've got Marianne. Do we have anyone else out there live tweeting right now? No, we do not appear to, but thank you all for tweeting along with the live show. And what? Sorry. What now?
I made the mistake of looking over at Twitter again. And, we want to thank everyone for listening, either live or when they listen to it later.
Yes, Tom, that is actually your voice saying, I'm Tom and I'm way into butts. Do I need to play it again?
Play it again.
Okay, fine.
I'm Tom and I'm way into butts.
Yes, that is something that you have actually said. See now we're just puppets because he set that up specifically for us. He called you out when he did that.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. And we'd like to thank all of you for listening. I'm Miranda Janelle.
I'm that fracking cat.
Hey, kitty.
Yeah?
Think we should go watch another movie?
Okay, I'm for that.
Alrighty.
Talking to hard seeps.
Remember, remember the 5th of November.
You be careful. People in masks cannot be trusted.
Go away, Baton!
Midnight Movie Night.
I don't think you're allowed to look at Twitter anymore during the live show.
No.
At least not when Tom's tweeting. No. All right, so since you've never seen Being John Malkovich, and it's been a long time since I've seen it, if it's on Netflix or Hulu Plus or maybe HBO Now, do you want to try and watch that?
I don't know. I'll think about it. I've still kind of got this one stuck in my head, you know, just the way it is.
Okay. All right. Well.
But I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
Stop it, Tom.
Okay, you can't look away from your screen and read Twitter on my screen. It doesn't work that way.
Oh.
Stop being distracted by Twitter.
I'm not. I covered the Twitter up.
Yeah,
I'm going to put a piece of paper over my computer screen.
No, look, my Twitter. Yeah, it's gone. Okay, it's gone.
See what you've done, Tom.
Ay, ay, ay.